south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, so I got this email from a young lady. She said, Johnny, you've been in Latin America now for over 20 years, right? That means you got to Latin America before a lot of the technology arrived there, like the internet, smartphones, surveillance cameras and stuff. Maybe someday, Johnny, you'd like to tell us how Latin America has changed since you first arrived there and were kind of a pioneer, at least in our minds you are. Then she says, working on coming to your next seminar, Johnny. Probably will be coming alone because my significant other is not quite on board with a plan B yet. Either way, I'm coming, Johnny, with or without the guy. So save a spot for me. Love the shows, Johnny. Signed, Cynthia. From Upper Michigan. All right, Sin, thanks for that. And as far as how things have changed in the past, well, it's been 27 years now. I could probably do 3 or 4 shows on that. But now that you've asked, just the other day I was thinking about none other than Walmart. Hey, I'm no fan of Walmart, but man, it's got a huge presence here now in Latin America. Why? Because, well, you probably heard me say this in the past show, but it's the largest employer in all of Latin America. And man, when I got down here 27 plus years ago, there wasn't a single Walmart. In fact, there are only a handful, probably 5 first world franchises that I'd run into consistently. And almost always in Latin big cities. That would be the usual suspects, McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried, and believe it or not, Sears and Ace Hardware. But here's the thing about Walmart. At last count, there were more than 3,500 Walmarts in Latin America. And it's a new word in the Spanish vocabulary. These days, everyone knows it. And 10 or 15 years ago, no one knew it. They say, Walmart, Walmart. And here's something, if you keep your eyes open, you'll notice. You walk into a Walmart, you almost never see lower middle class and poor people or indigenous people, unless they're there as maids or cleaning ladies assisting their boss ladies, head of the house, selecting stuff to buy. And sometimes you'll catch an indigenous lady in a full-blown maid's uniform, just like you see in the old movies. They even have an aisle in Walmart with maid's uniforms you can buy. And I'm not talking about the sexy ones either. Actually, to me, it's pretty nauseating when an upscale Latin forces her maid or cleaning lady to wear a maid's uniform. Come on. Anyway, so it seems the clients at Walmart are pretty much exclusively middle-class, upper-middle-class, and wealthy Latinos. And they dress up, too. It's a place to be seen, you know. Nope, no bathrobes, slippers, and curlers. And way back when there were no Walmarts, where'd the middle class and upscale people shop? Well, they went to the big markets. I'm talking about those gigantic, fantastic produce markets that you see here and there and everywhere. Sometimes they're outdoor markets and sometimes they're in raggedy old buildings, but they are everywhere. So back then, when there were no Walmarts or Costco's, and you know Costco's down here too, and that's exclusively for upper middle class and wealthy Latinos, since it is a membership thing and you got to pay $25 a year or something to get the card, right? And for most Latin Americans making minimum wage, $300 or $400 a month, that's a deal breaker. And that, of course, means if you want to see, meet, or mingle with exclusively upper middle class and or wealthy Latino gringo wannabes, and for those of you into mating and dating, we're talking about high maintenance here, get a Costco card and shop there. By the way, in some Latin countries, they're called Costco's. In other countries, they're called Price Smart. You got to wonder what doofus picked that name. That's PriceSmart. Price Smart. First of all, the word price is an English word, and so is smart. So your average Spanish speaker has no idea what that means. But don't let the name fool you. When you walk in, all the products are Costco, and it's set up exactly the same way. It just has to do with a particular Latin country's corporate branding and such. Now, personally, I try to go into Walmart as little as possible, though sometimes I'll wander in there, but never to buy the produce. Their produce is just like up in the States, nicely packaged, but never quite fresh. You want fresh, extreme fresh, you go to one of the street markets. That's what I do all the time. I've been doing it since I got down here. Anyway, years ago, before Walmart and Costco landed, I'd go to the big markets and people shopping there were from all social classes, all the way up to the very rich. Although the upper middle class and wealthy people would generally sit in their nice cars in the parking lot and send out their maids and cleaning ladies to do the shopping. Because, you know, there's extreme class consciousness here in Latin America. And if you're in the upper social status, you don't want to be seen mingling with the common folk. I know, it's totally ridiculous, but that's the way it is here. And believe me, that part of Latin society has not changed since I've been down here. For the upper classes and wealthy especially, it's all about where you're seen, what you look like, what you have, and being as gringoized as possible. So anyway, these days when I go to one of those fantastic produce markets and park in one of the nearby lots, I still see the occasional relatively new BMW, Range Rover, or upscale SUV. But unlike in the past, today that just means the wealthy lady sitting in the car in the parking lot while her maid or cleaning lady does the shopping is probably in a financial bind. And that's why they're shopping there. Because as you'll see yourself, if you come down here and keep your eyes open, any produce you buy in one of the big markets will be marked up double if you buy it at Walmart or Costco. And it won't be as fresh either. So bottom line, at one of those big markets, it's very rare you'll see an upper middle class or wealthy person shopping there. I mean, extremely rare. Unless, of course, you're in a market that's on the gringo tourist trail. Then you'll see a lot of gringos there. Still, very rarely will you see an upscale Latina there. Of course, you'll never know how many maids and cleaning ladies are clandestinely doing the shopping. By the way, in Latin America, being that it's a macho society, it's almost exclusively the ladies that do the shopping anyway. So what's it all mean? Well, it just means that upper middle class and wealthy Latinos prefer to shop at Walmart and Costco more because it's the place to go and be seen because they're first world gringo franchises than it is about the freshness, quality, or price. It seems more a psychological trade-off than anything because they do know the produce is bigger, better, fresher, and much less expensive at those big outdoor markets, but they're also scruffy, disorganized, chaotic, and full of people they call corriente, meaning low-class people they would never personally mingle with. I know, it's kind of sad, but that's life here in Latin America. In fact, you long-time listeners just might remember me saying that one time I was talking to one of my translator ladies, the ladies I use at my expat insider seminars. Most have very good English because they went to upscale helicopter bilingual schools, meaning their parents were upper middle class or wealthy. So what's that got to do with anything? Well, like I said, one of the boots on the ground trips for my seminars is to go to one of those big markets. And more than once, I've heard one of my seminar translator ladies say, "You mean we're going to the central market? I've never been there before." And these are 20-somethings who've never once stepped foot in the big central market. Why? Well, because their parents have never gone there either. So then where do their parents shop? Two guesses, Walmart and Costco. Though nowadays, in almost every Latin city, the competition for the Walmarts happen to be local or national supermarket franchises who pretty much try to copy Walmart, and some do it pretty well. And there are some lower class, kind of scruffy and dingy supermarket chains too, and somehow it always seems to play out that the more dingy and scruffy a supermarket chain is, the cheaper the prices are compared to Walmart. Which is why when you walk into one of those places, you'll see they're frequented almost exclusively by middle class, lower middle class, and poor Latinos. Because you see, upscale Latinos will never go into those places either. Except if they're having a dinner party emergency. Again, what we're talking about doesn't apply on the gringo tourist trail, because they'll have local supermarkets there too. Some, as mentioned, quite scruffy. But since us gringos are not particularly class conscious, we'll pop in any place if we need to buy a case of beer, Cheetos, condoms, or soy burgers. Nope, we'll never run across town to the Walmart just because we don't want to be seen at the central market or in a scruffier supermarket. Those thoughts are not even on our radar. Oh, and if you think I'm exaggerating or you doubt what I'm saying is true, on your next trip to Latin America, just pop into a Walmart or a Costco and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. By the way, here's something all you health-conscious listeners just have to know. After visiting dozens, maybe hundreds, of Latin American homes, from the very wealthy with bodyguards and helicopters to the very poor with tin roofs and dirt floors, I've discovered that in practically every kitchen in every strata of Latin society, they use and cook with margarine, margarina, not butter, mantequilla. That means if you're invited to eat at any Latin person's house, what you're eating was cooked in or slathered with margarine. and they just don't know any better. Even the Latins who are supposedly educated. Anyway, you know, there's always been that ongoing controversy about butter versus margarine. And these days, if you've been keeping up with the science, you know, butter, real butter, has its problems. But it's infinitely better than margarine. And butter's probably not that bad for you at all, as long as it's certified organic. And the cow is free range and it hasn't been injected and all that. Again, the cows here in Latin America, and you'll see them everywhere, are walking all over in the boonies. They're definitely free range. They're not factory farmed or penned in. You gotta love it, except for the inevitable mounds, sometimes mountains of poop deposits on the highway. In fact, many times, wouldn't you know it, right after I've washed my car, I plowed into a putrid patch of pure poop. Try saying that 5 times after a couple of tequilas. A revolting development, to say the least. But I digress. Anyway, if you're tuned into all things food and nutrition, you'll know margarine's not fit for man nor beast. In fact, I saw a YouTube not so long ago where someone put a stick of butter and a stick of margarine next to each other, outside, right next to the garbage cans, and with time-lapse photography, you could see flies and insects hitting on the butter, and not one insect or living creature touched the margarine. Now that says it all, right? Turns out bacteria doesn't even like this stuff. But man, Latinos sure do, because, like I said, 99.9% of households use it regularly and exclusively. Why? Because it's cheap and kids learn from and get used to how their parents organize things. So if a person's parents used margarine, the kids will use margarine. And since Latino culture is not big on investigating anything or doing their homework before they buy any kind of products, the use of margarine has become ubiquitous throughout Latin society. In fact, if you go to any Latin restaurant, you can be absolutely sure every recipe that calls for butter is using margarine. In fact, even if you go to a high-end restaurant and the waiter says, would you like pan con ajo, that means garlic bread, well, you can be sure it's not garlic and butter, it's garlic and margarine. Now, that's not to say you can't get real butter in medium and high-end restaurants. If you ask for it, they'll usually bring you one of those little packaged little tabs, but that's not what they're going to be cooking with. So, just a heads up there, because I, for one, do not eat margarine. Though, since I am a Latin American, get invited to people's houses once in a while, I'm sure I've inadvertently downed quite a bit of it. Because, you know, you can't very well quiz mama and say, was this prepared with margarine? Well, I'll have none of that. No, that wouldn't be too nice or diplomatic. Man, you'd never want to insult your host, right? And of course, that means if a Latin person pops up some popcorn, it'll be slathered with margarine. Same thing at the cinema. And the fact that margarine's not good for you and probably is toxic is absolutely not on any Latin person's radar that I've ever come across. And it's the same with cooking oil. 99.9% of all Latins cook with palm oil. Hey, why not? This is palm oil central. Practically every medium and large-sized Latin city has a number of palm oil processing plants. It's close to the source, you know, which means palm oil is so cheap, it's almost free. And as for canola oil, which isn't much better, you know, that comes from rapeseed, right? And if you look that up, you'll find out before it's processed, it's actually poisonous to humans. Great, huh? Anyway, since canola oil is not produced here in Latin America, it's a lot more expensive than palm oil. And though you see it in places like Walmart, Latinos aren't familiar with it, so they don't buy it. And of course, the next best step up is olive oil. And you see that in all the supermarkets too, but it's not a big seller. Not at all. In fact, there are lots of dusty bottles of olive oil all over the supermarket shelves in Latin America. And being that it's about 5 times more expensive than palm oil, why in the world would poor, even middle-class Latins with very little disposable income buy this stuff? Again, the scientific proof of the damage done by palm oil in the human system is just not on anyone's radar down here. Though, Italian restaurants here in Latin America, and there are a lot of them, have olive oil bottles on the table. They have to. That's a traditional Italian thing, right? However, that doesn't mean they're cooking with it back in the kitchen. And of course, the next and best oil to use would be cold-pressed organic coconut oil. Oh, and you can get it down here now, too. In fact, I get mine at Costco. Yep, they carry the 100% cold-pressed organic brands, too. And as much as I hate those big box stores like Costco, they do have a few products like coconut oil that are worth going in for. So, yes, in the last couple of years, you've been able to get coconut oil here rather easily, though it's about twice the price of olive oil and about 10 times the price of palm oil, which is why it's almost exclusively used by gringos and expats who know better. In fact, in all the years I've been down here in Latin America, And in all the kitchens and houses I've been in, I've yet to see any Latino family using coconut oil. Though I understand 20 or 30 years ago, before dirt cheap palm oil became all the rage, practically all Latino families living at sea level or on the coast had coconut oil in their kitchen. And the people in the highlands, where coconut oil wasn't available, why, they'd traditionally cook with lard. Ugh. You know, that's what you get after you fried up some chicharrones. Or they'd be cooking with corn oil. And why not? Latin America is the home of the corn tortilla, right? So corn or maize is grown everywhere. So before 20 or 30 years ago, corn oil was big here. And you still see it on the shelves. But it's that nasty palm oil that's taken over the cooking market in a huge way. So again, just a little heads up there. And something you just might want to ask about next time you eat at a restaurant here in Latin America. And of course, what that means is all cakes, pies, pastries, and baked goods are loaded with palm oil or margarine. Which is why, if you're concerned about that kind of thing, it's better to eat at home. Enough said about that. Speaking of health and healthcare issues, seems like every fresh green gringo I run into who's over 40 years old asks me about health insurance here in Latin America. And you've heard me talk about that in great detail in past shows. Plus, you know, at my Expat Insider seminars, I give you the full lowdown on health insurance, doctors, hospitals, clinics, the best options for gringos, the best plans. And we even go into first class, first world hospital, and meet the doctors and get the tour. It's a real eye-opener and beyond impressive. Now, I'm bringing this up today because I got an email from a listener, Cal, who says he's involved in the private nursing home industry up in the States, and he's had it. He wants out. He says most homes up in the States are in a terrible state, and he wants to come down and has a plan to start his own senior care facility here in Latin America. He's thinking about the Altiplano, of course, owing to the fact that there'll be no air conditioning or heating bills, and that's a huge expense up in the States. And he knows down here there are doctors, nurses, and aides who'll gladly work for around a fifth of the salary they get up in the States, and the fact that the regulations to open a facility like that here in Latin America are nothing like the tangled mountain of paperwork you have to know and comply with up in the States, etc., etc. So that's Cal's idea right now. That's his plan. He's going to come down and scout it out. And one of his questions to me is, and it's a good question for anyone who's starting a business and who's going to have employees down here. He says, once I start hiring employees, I'd like to offer them a benefits package, including some kind of health care insurance. Oh, and he's asking me if I know of any existing companies that are offering employee plans. He's wondering if they have similar plans like up in the States where the employer and the employee each pay a part of it, sometimes half and half. Or are the options more limited because that kind of stuff's new in Latin America and maybe the employer pays the whole thing or the employee pays the whole thing? And what kind of benefits and coverage can you expect? All right, Cal, lots of good questions there. And you know, it's a funny thing, but if you're going to start a brick and mortar business here in Latin America and you start hiring the locals, as you're interviewing them, you'll notice they don't ask you about benefits. Of course, they all know about government-mandated benefits, especially days off, Christmas, New Year's, holidays, holy days, sometimes even their birthday. And of course, they know that in most Latin countries, you got to pay them an extra month's wages in the middle of the year, around July, and pay them an extra month at the end of the year. One's called aguinaldo and one's called bono 14. That's kind of standard throughout Latin America. So remember, you might only be paying your employees $300 or $400 a month. But if your business is on the books and your employees are registered with the government, meaning they're in the national social security and healthcare system, you're on the hook for 2 extra months pay every year. So workers know their government mandated benefits, but it'd be rare for them to ask you if you have additional benefits for them. So, in Latin America, there's a big lag time with employee benefits, too. And as far as giving your employees health insurance, well, that's truly a gift. Because here in Latin America, the only companies that really do that are first world franchises coming in, like Starbucks, Costco, Walmart, Ace Hardware. Even McDonald's has some kind of healthcare coverage for their upper level employees anyway. And that's because first world franchises have continuity. A franchise in the US is the same as a franchise in London or Indonesia or Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And the fact that Latin America is not a culture that believes in or knows anything really about insurance, it took the first world franchises coming in the last 20 years or so and the opening up of credit markets, specifically with car loans, where the bank or loan company demands the owner hold insurance, that's what it took to introduce Latin Americans to the concept of insurance. Because you see, even now, only about 3% of Latin Americans have private health insurance beyond the cheap, crappy national health care system they all have access to, which, except for emergency and trauma care, is absolutely medieval. But that's what the Latin population is used to, and it's virtually free. But you know, nothing's for nothing, right? So anyway, the concept of Latin Americans even having enough disposable income to buy health or property insurance, well, good luck with that. It's just not happening, except in that upper maybe 5% of Latin Americans. Unless, of course, you work for a first world franchise and the company gives it to you. In fact, I only know of one Latin American person, and he's a highly educated guy who has homeowners insurance, umbrella coverage. And he got into that habit because his English is perfect and he's gone to school up in the States. So he's got first world friends in other countries and he's been exposed to the insurance game as we know it. So bottom line, if you own a business here and offer health care to your employees, you're going above and beyond the call of duty. And I applaud you for it. Because the vast majority of Latin-owned businesses will never offer that stuff. Oh, and by the way, a friend of mine, a German who owns an Italian restaurant franchise, he said, if you offer your employees a healthcare package and they have to pay 1 cent more out of their own pockets, most of them won't sign on because they don't see the value in it because they've got that stinking national healthcare, crummy and broken as it is. And you know, in Latin America, entry-level employees, that is people who are getting minimum wage here in Latin America, it sounds strange, but almost none of them have ever been to a private hospital or clinic because you got to fork out your own dough there. Although they all know they're cleaner, nicer, have better facilities, and infinitely better service than the national healthcare system, the problem is they have to pay and they don't have the extra dough. Even just spending one day in the emergency room at a private hospital would break the average working class Latino. For example, a day in the emergency room could cost $1,500. And remember, in the States, it would be more like $10,000 or more. And for the average Latino, $1,500 is a quarter to a third of a year's salary. So anyway, my German buddy who owns the Italian restaurants, he said some of the big insurance companies, even the banks that own insurance companies, the ones that I recommend gringos and expats get on right away when they first get down, they're now just starting to offer it corporate and business group plans where you can sign up all your employees. In fact, he gave me the lowdown and a pamphlet on his group plan. Now get this, it's one of those healthcare insurances that's run by a bank, where he has his own personal plan that costs him around $100 a month. And now the bank's offering it for owners and employees of small businesses just like his. And he was shocked and surprised when he found out he could put each of his employees on the same plan he has for only $25 a month each person. Now, I wonder, do you or do you know anybody up in the States who's got a group plan for their small business? What do you think the average is that they pay to have their employees on the plan? Well, I just looked it up, and the average employee contribution, $100 a month. And the average employer contribution, $500 a month. And it works out that the average monthly payment for healthcare in the United States for a family, when not on a group coverage or employee-sponsored plan, that means individual coverage, is $833 a month per family. Meanwhile, back here in Latin America, small business employers can get first world medical coverage for their employees for $25 a month. And the employee kicks in nothing. Man, you gotta love it here in Latin America, huh? Man, if that's not stretching the limits of lag time, I don't know what is. Those are more like 1960s healthcare prices back in the States, before most of you were born, which thoroughly proves the point that it's time to get the hell out of Dodge. Get that Plan B going. All right, I know, $25 a month sounds crazy. You think, what's the catch? There's got to be one, right? Well, for those of you non-believers out there, just send me an email and I'll prove it to you. It's theexpatfiles@gmail.com and I'll scan these pamphlets and send them to you. Of course, they're all in Spanish. And by the way, on the pamphlet, there's a picture of a young, happy guy. Par for the course, this young man looks just like a first world gringo. He looks so non-Latin. And so first world, but you know, that's the point. That's the marketing strategy that many, many companies use down here. For example, real estate companies do it all the time when trying to sell units in a new subdivision or gated community or residential tower. All their ads will show a young, happy family, a beautiful blonde wife, tall, light-skinned dad, and generally a couple of blonde, blue-eyed kids, something that just doesn't exist in for real here in Latin America. But subtly or not so subtly drives the point home that if you buy into this gated, guarded community, whatever, your neighbors will be upscale, tall, white, and gringo-like. Talk about classism, huh? Oh, and talking to a gringo just the other day, who's been living down here around 3 years now, came to one of my expat insider seminars and never left. That happens, you know. Anyway, he said something very surprising to me, though it shouldn't really have surprised me at all. He said, you know, Johnny, by the way, he lives slightly off the gringo tourist trail. In other words, he can get to a kind of a gringoized area within an hour's drive. He says, Johnny, you won't believe it, but 3 years after coming down here, my cost of living has actually dropped about 30%. I said, really, how'd you do that? You're buying less or drinking less or the dog die? What happened? He said, no, I can speak Spanish now. And that, he said, was the secondary effect, the unintended consequences I never would have thought of. He said, now that I can speak Spanish, at least well enough to talk to almost everybody and understand what they're saying, no one dares try to stick me with gringo prices, and no one never tries to scam me either. Not that that was a big problem before I started speaking Spanish, but the fact is I never knew if they were scamming me. Though I sort of figured, he said, I was paying more than I had to for certain things, like rent and stuff, simply because I didn't realize, for example, how much you can barter down here. Even, believe it or not, he said, in a mom-and-pop hardware store. Or with an electrician or plumber or someone who's fixing your TV. Took me a while, he said, but I learned pretty much the only places you have to pay retail prices are at franchise outfits. You know, like Costco, Starbucks, Gold's Gym, Bass Shoes, Tommy Hilfiger, those kind of places. And even then, it doesn't hurt to throw them a lower price and see what they say. Oftentimes, when you're just dealing with a plain salesman, he'll call the boss over and you will be able to strike a deal, but you won't be able to pull it off if you only speak English. All right, that's good info to know, huh? Now we're getting to the end, and before we close up shop today, I'd like to mention once again, you can still sign up for my July 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. It starts in about 5 weeks now, and you can still get in on the early bird discounts if you sign up by June 1st. And since this show is first going out on Sunday, May 27th, you've got just about a week to sign up and save an additional $500 per person. After that, on June 1st, the price goes back to normal till the seminar kicks off in July. So check out the details and sign-up info at www.thenewexpat.com. Then click on Johnny's seminar link and don't forget to check out those famous John Galt side trips. You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.